again, Laura Jean, for the songs that you've chosen for us to sing. When I looked at that one the other evening when you texted me, I thought, oh, that's a lovely song. But it's really only now that we were singing it that I realized just how in touch and keeping with the passage we're looking at tonight that really is. So thank you so very much. From the day that Elisha walked away from the family farm to become Elijah's attendant, as it would later be said, you know, he poured water on the hands of Elijah. It wasn't to be a particularly, you know, high-flying post that he was going to. He was going to be his assistant, his attendant. But from the day that he walked away from that farm, Elisha knew that sooner or later it was bound to happen. Elijah would be taken away by the Lord. Elijah had all but had his day when he and Elisha had begun their partnership. He appears only twice between that day and the day the Lord handed over his role to Elisha. Both of those occasions involved Elijah delivering what can only be described as rather grim messages from the Lord. First to Ahab and Jezebel, and then later to their son Ahaziah, passage that we looked at together recently. Messages that described how they were going to die. And it wouldn't be pretty for any of them because they'd done so much evil in the eyes of the Lord. And each of them came to a rather grisly end, just as Elijah said. And so it was time for Elijah to take his leave and hand over to Elisha. His farewell marks the end of an era. To Elisha, as to many in Israel, Elijah was a hero. Yet even Elisha is gobsmacked at what he sees. The chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elijah receives an escort, usually reserved for royalty. The chariots and horsemen protecting their charge, keeping back anyone or anything that might seek to hold Elijah back from his divine appointment. It was like the police outriders that you would see accompanying the royal family whenever they go to various places in the country. And then he was gone. The blink of an eye. Caught up in a whirlwind. Any wonder Elisha felt nervous and anxious? Any wonder the company of the prophets were a bit of a loss to know what to do next? It was a moment of transition in the kingdom of God, and it felt like a disaster. Such times are never the easiest of times for people. Not even for God's people. But the Lord understands that, which is why he includes passages like this in the Bible in the first place. To help us understand that such moments in life are moments in which we can find reassurance and hope in the Lord. While the circumstances of life constantly change, there are anchors that remain sure and steadfast for us in the Lord. In some ways, the last 12 months might have felt a bit of an uncertain and unsettling time here in Drumrea while our minister was away serving the wider church as moderator, and the knock-on effect of that in terms of continuity and ministry within the fellowship, worship and pastoral care, preaching and teaching, the oversight and outworking of the spiritual and temporal aspects of the congregational life and witness, planning for the future. And just when we were getting used to the new norm, it's all change again in a couple of weeks' time. I said to Sandra earlier that I thought maybe the children were just getting used to me now. On a more general level, though, within the whole of our society and indeed across the world, surely one of the biggest life-changing events we have experienced in recent times was the COVID pandemic, with its restrictions that affected most areas of life, not to mention the horror it brought to families who lost loved ones in circumstances from which they may never recover this side of eternity. Lots of people are still trying to come to terms with all that happened, and many have been left with feelings of confusion and uncertainty, feelings that have carried across into organizations and businesses and churches alike. 2 Kings 2 reveals several things that provide hope and assurance, at least for God's people in the shifting circumstances of life, both in terms of the everyday situations we face as Christian individuals and families, as well as God's work within the church. What sort of things do we find here? Well, there's God's power. Picture the scene. Elijah and Elisha walking side by side with the prophets of Jericho in tow. They reach the River Jordan and stop. What'll happen now? The other prophets stand back a bit to watch and see. Elijah takes off his cloak, rolls it into a sort of a stick, and strikes the water with it. Dry ground appears, and the two men walk over to the other side of the river, while the prophets of Jericho stay where they are. And once the two of them reach the other side, Elijah asks Elisha, "What can I do for you before I'm taken?" Elisha replies in verse 9, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Good ask." Mind you, given the enormity of Elisha's respect and regard for Elijah, a double portion of his spirit would be a hard thing to obtain, as Elijah himself admits. Not that Elijah was boasting when he said that. However, if Elisha sees him when he's being taken, his prayer will be granted. Now, we can only assume that it is granted because the text doesn't explicitly say so. It merely tells us that Elisha does indeed see his master being caught up in the whirlwind. But any doubt we might have is completely removed as the Lord's power reaches down to Elisha in the same way that it had to Elijah. When he struck the water, 2 Kings 2:14, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. To the waiting prophets, the message was loud and clear. Verse 15, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. But remember this, the power wasn't Elisha's any more than it had been Elijah's. It was God's power flowing through each of them. Elisha recognized that as he hit the water with the cloak. Verse 14, where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Without the Lord, Elisha would have ended up with a soaking wet cloak instead of a dry piece of ground to walk on to back to the other side. And you know, the same is true today. Jesus says in John 15:5, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Achievement and success in the work of the kingdom isn't down to human beings. It's not down to our great planning ability. It's not down to our conferences and all the rest of that. It's down to the Lord, as his power flows through those who have a heart for him and whose hearts are open to him. The God we worship today is the same God as Elijah and Elisha worshipped. Yes, the world of our day is very different from theirs. We face different cultural problems from them, different aspirations from the people of their day, very different technology from the chariots and the horses that they used. But the God of 850 BC is just as powerful today as he was then, and his power is every bit as much an anchor for us in the shifting circumstances of life as it was back then. So too is God's wisdom. The Bible constantly points out how wisdom is so vital for human beings, especially Christians. Lots of people talk about common sense these days. I remember my dad used to say, I don't know why people are talking about common sense, because it's not very common. Wisdom matters. And Elisha has it. His fellow prophets, however, didn't manage to exercise it on this occasion. Having just witnessed what he had been able to do, they recognized Elisha's authority. The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. Yet they didn't pay a blind bit of notice to what Elisha told them when they asked him, shall we send men to look for Elijah? No, verses 16 to 18, no. You'd only be wasting your time, basically, is what Elisha answered. But they persisted until he was too ashamed to refuse. Oh, we know that, don't we? Parents know that only too well. The children persist until we're too ashamed not to give in. Lots of people in life are like that. They shout and they shout and they shout. And it seems to be those who shout the loudest are the ones who are rewarded for doing the shouting, even though it may not be the best outcome for anybody at the end of the day. They persisted until Elisha was too ashamed to refuse. So he said, send them. And off they go. Searching for 3 days, we're told. And surprise, surprise, Elisha was right. It was the wrong thing to do. Elijah was nowhere to be found. How often that happens in life. People turn for help to someone that they regard as wise and sensitive, godly, only to ignore the advice they're given and persist in going their own way and end up no further forward, sometimes even a few steps back. Power is everything, people think, even in the church. People often persist with things that others in wisdom advise them against, but they refuse to listen. Wisdom is nothing, we think. True, wisdom isn't one of God's spectacular gifts. But what a spectacular difference it makes when wisdom is exercised. And it's freely available, as James 1:5 makes abundantly clear. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. The trouble is, we'd rather have our own foolish way instead of listening to God. Yet God's wisdom will help us keep our heads when all around are losing theirs. And the third anchor for us in the shifting circumstances of life is God's grace. Jericho is evidence of that grace. and its effects. Oh, we've all heard how Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and the walls came a-tumbling down. You kids tonight will know the chorus, I'm sure. But what about the curse that he inflicted on the city? Are we as aware of that as we are of the walls falling down? Joshua 6:26, cursed before the Lord is the man who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son will he lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest will he set up its gates. Surprise, surprise, in the days when Ahab ruled, the Ahab against whom Elijah had been pitted so often and under whose reign the vast majority of people in Israel didn't give a toss about God or his word, preferring the false Baal gods instead. In those days, a builder from Bethel called Hiel took on the challenge of rebuilding the city of Jericho, presumably in the hope of making his fortune. But at what cost? His eldest son died while the foundations were being laid, and his youngest as the city gates were being hung. Jericho was a place under curse, and it continued to be until Elisha's day. The problem? Its water supply was contaminated, and everyone believed it was causing death and miscarriages in both animals and people in the surrounding area. Elisha responds using a new bowl filled with salt and empties it into the spring from which the water supply was drawn. But be careful here. This was only a visible sign of something that the Lord was doing for these people. Verse 21, this is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Other people might have thought to themselves, I could have done that ages ago if I had known it only needed a bit of salt. But they'd have been wrong. The salt didn't heal the water. It was the Lord who healed the water. He chose to overturn the curse and give a blessing of grace. And he still does it today, even for people like ourselves, which is why his grace is an anchor for us in the shifting circumstances of life, particularly when we make a mess of things, as we're apt to do from time to time, even though we're slow to admit it. There's hope for us here. No one is beyond God's grace. The curse we brought upon ourselves through disobedience, through wrong behavior, foolish talk, rebellious attitudes, reckless living, the Lord can heal it. So we should never think we're beyond grace. Never think we're a hopeless case. No matter how sinful we think we have been, look at Jericho. See the curse. Experience the grace. God's presence is with us wherever we go, whatever we do. He is with us by his Spirit in a way he wasn't with people in Elisha's day when the Spirit was only with a particular person at a particular time for a particular purpose. And of course, Jesus himself gave us the wonderful promise that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so his presence, the presence of God by his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, makes his power, wisdom, and grace available to us in our everyday lives. So don't try to get through life on your own. Christian people speaking with each other probably wouldn't admit to doing that, but we do, don't we? We still do it. Christian or not, there are times when we still try to make it through on our own. We go to God as a last resort rather than a first port of call. Don't try to get through life on your own. Don't rely on your own abilities, no matter how good those abilities might be. Draw on God's power, God's wisdom, God's grace. Let them become anchors for us in the shifting circumstances of life. Anchors that keep us true to the Lord and walking in His ways. Anchors that help us find reassurance and hope in the Lord, whatever the circumstances we may be facing at any moment in time. Christ alone, cornerstone. Weak, made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Let Him be Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He's risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's something that we should be confessing every day. Not just once in life when we welcome Him as our Savior and bow the knee to Him, but to keep on doing that, confessing Him as Lord each and all of our days, knowing that He is with us, that our weakness is made strong in His love, that He is Lord, Lord of all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for recording these episodes in the lives of Elijah and Elisha, the prophets of Jericho, for us here. They're so meaningful. They're so helpful. They're so encouraging to us, even challenging, Lord. For they help us to understand that Your power, Your wisdom, and Your grace are anchors that we need to use often in our lives. They will keep us from drifting. They will keep us from running aground. They will keep us in the storm, steady, secure. Help us, Lord, then, to draw on these things more often in our lives, going to You first rather than last, allowing You to fill us with Your Spirit in a way that enables us day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, to know that You are with us and that You are helping us through. And as You do so, we are able to give glory and honor to You in the eyes of those around us, that they may see from where we draw our power, our wisdom, from You, as You graciously impart these things to us. Write these things in our hearts, Lord, we pray, for Jesus' sake.